you know, that's the thing. I considered it because I heard it. And, you know, the hardest part was for me, and it's the truth, man. I tell these guys a little bit, but the hardest thing for me was, and when I tell people I faced my mortality, this is it. I mean, I didn't fight. I didn't go into this sport because I wanted to be cool. I didn't jump into this sport because I wanted to be hard. When I did this sport, it was only legal in 3 states. It was kept alive by the internet. Nobody thought it was cool. Nobody even knew what this sport was. And but I wanted to keep training. I wanted to be an athlete. And so getting, long story long, and you all know me. But my thing was, you know, I just, facing my mortality, the death of the athlete or the death of Little Evil was just, was hard to even think about. And that's when I started making changes. And I had to make a lot of changes to correct it. So the first thing I did, man, you know, I went and talked to my doctor, and they got my mind right, because of depression, anxiety, a lot of people battle it, you know. And so once my mind got right, shot to Idaho, man. I don't know if I ever really, 34 years old, I don't know if retirement's in my cards, because it's, I'm not getting knocked to sleep where there's an ambulance picking me up, or, you know, I'm making bad mistakes. You know, I go 25 with Uriah, moving slow. I'm out of shape. He pot shots me like a good boy should, hit me right in the gut, caught me in a guillotine. Leonard put me on the head, but I was standing back up before the referee even waved it off. And the last one, I mean, Gorgeous Me shoots into a guillotine. But had I got out of that guillotine, I'd have been the first shot I took in 5 years. We could have had a lot of fun with stand-up. So, you know, I mean, little things. But that's how I'm losing. I'm losing the dumb things because my mind wasn't right. And so that's the transition I had to make.
So, well, I have nothing to say on the WEC because I haven't seen it because of the whole DirecTV thing. And 1 week later, still no news on that front. So I'm guessing that what Cage Potato reported was not accurate.
What did Cage Potato report?
That there was a deal imminent between DirecTV and Versus, but that hasn't been corroborated anywhere that I've seen. So I'm guessing that they were misinformed.
I still have Meltzer on it.
So I still have no Versus, and I'm probably going to miss the UFC show also.
Gabe is hosting this week live from the smoke deck via his cell phone, if anyone is curious as to the difference in sound quality this week. So.
Yeah, I was on Skype, and I still sounded like I was calling in on the phone. So.
Now you sound a little bit worse.
Well, I figured as much. But, anyway, yes, we had the WEC, good pay-per-view, saw two big upsets, bantamweight title changed hands again. The champion, Brian Bowles, broke his hand throwing the first punch after two rounds, decided not to further risk his career for a fight he was losing pretty badly anyway, and continue on trying to punch a guy with a broken hand. So he did the smart thing, if not the, you know, the tough guy thing, and hung another 2 rounds. Former champ Miguel Torres lost another very exciting fight, his second in a row, coming off of a last year considered an unbeatable fighter at one point, and now he's lost 2 in a row. But possibly the story of the night was the maybe retirement of fan favorite Jens Pulver. He's lost 6 of his last 7, but he is just one of those guys who just people just can't seem to help but root for. He gave a very, very emotional kind of sort of retirement speech. They wouldn't actually say it. So there's a topic of discussion. What is more important? Going back to Brian Bowles, breaking your hand and just giving up the championship in a fight you were losing to save your, to basically sustain your career longer, or should he have been a tough guy like Ry Faber, who's in a similar situation and fought the full five rounds with two broken hands and continued on fighting?
Oh, I don't know. I don't hold anything against him for throwing in the towel. You said he was... You got suddenly quiet. What?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't begrudge him throwing in the towel if he was injured. And if he was apparently, as you said, I'll take your word for it, losing pretty badly anyway, so...
He wasn't, like, getting it ass-handed to him, but he was getting beat to the punch. He didn't know how to handle the guy's speed. Pretty obvious. He lost two rounds pretty decisively, 10-9. I'm the same way. I'm like, you know, you can be a tough guy all day long, but in the night he's probably, you know, still losing the fight and fucked up his hand worse, so... I think he did the right thing. I know there's some people who, you know, this is a tough guy sport, full of tough people who fought him worse. But yeah, sometimes you got to fight smart, you know, if you want a longer career. And, I mean, look at some of these guys that do take ridiculous damage and their career's over pretty short. I think he did the right thing, you know, from what I've heard. Again, I have seen the fight. Alan did not. From a non-fan perspective, what's your take on what you know of MMA there, Brian Kelbeard, as being a, you know, macho man in general, as you are?
You know, for me, I don't know. I haven't watched any MMA in like 2 years. So, I can't really...
You're a co-host.
Yeah. Hey, I'm here to record.
We're asking your, you know, just as an outside observer, you know, hearing the story, what would you think?
Calling it quits after two rounds because his hand was broken. Two rounds into a five-round fight.
I mean, I guess it really depends on how badly your hand was broken. If it was just like one quick, you know, break, I mean, it also depends on how big the fight is. If it was a major fight, yeah, fight through that. But if it's just this little nothing fight, that really doesn't mean anything.
Well, no, it was a title fight, so he...
Yeah, he's a...
I think that's a valid... A lot of people are throwing that out. You know, what kind of championship material is this guy if he's going to, you know, quit because of a little broken hand? Especially when not just too long ago, Ry Faber fought the full five rounds for the championship with two broken hands. But then again, he lost, so.
Yeah,
there's heart and there's smart.
Yeah, I mean, there's natural talent, natural skill, you know, and then there's heart, like you say. And, you know, someone with a lot of natural ability or, you know, actual talent may not have the heart, so.
Well, you can.
There's a decent argument either way.
I err on the side of caution just because I think in terms of money, you know, you're a world MMA champion. You've proven to the world you're a tough guy. You got that far. I'd say save your money. I mean, save your career. You make some more money down the line. At the same time, you know, again, if you're fighting on a nothing show for like a $300 payday. Break your hand in the first round. What's the point there of being a tough guy?
Right.
You know?
It's not like it's a tough man fight. It's, you know.
Exactly. It's a business, too. That's the bottom line to me. There are other subjects of WC, the apparent retirement of Jens Pulver. We talked with Don. I'm a big Jens. I pull for Jens all the time. The guy's got a great story. Never get a chance to read about the guy, you know, what he came from, what he's accomplished. It's amazing by itself.
Yeah, I just finished reading his book. It was pretty inspiring.
He leaves off the book with his father putting a shotgun in his mouth when he was 7 years old, threatening to kill him.
Right. And it was all kind of downhill from there. Well, to a point. To the point where his father ended up in prison anyway.
And I think a couple of his brothers did also. I mean, his whole family is a wreck. He's the one shining light. A little wrestling tie-in for you. He initially started training MMA with the Lions Den, is where, you know, Ken and Frank Shamrock are from. And he actually wanted to be adopted by Bob Shamrock, a la Ken and Frank, because he was so ashamed of the Pulver name because of his dad. And apparently Bob told him, you know, no, keep your name, they'll make it mean something. And I think he's accomplished that in his career at this point. So kudos to Jens, whatever he ends up doing. I really hope he doesn't keep fighting because, you know, you can make the argument when he's losing the top guys. When they start putting him against lower-level guys, what should be, but it's obvious. His body just probably just can't do it anymore. He color commentated one time. I thought he did a good job. Crazy sweater aside.
It's a nice sweater.
I don't know if I want to take Frank Mir out of that role for WC, but there's got to be a role for him somewhere.
So speaking of commentary, how did Bonner do commentating on that WEC card?
He was okay. He didn't bother me, but I didn't think, wow, this guy's, you know, like when Frank Mir started, I immediately caught my attention, you know, like, wow, this guy's got, you know,
right,
an analytical style. Jens was just, you know, very charismatic and emotional, and Bonner was just kind of there. He didn't, you know, you think of Bonner, you think of the Ultimate Fighter guy, he's really funny, and he was just more nervous and funny trying not to fuck up, I think, was his main goal. So I can give him D-, I guess.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind if he did it again. I wouldn't mind if he did it again, but I'm not clamoring for him to ever do it again. Again, Miguel Torres lost his second fight in a row. This guy is easily considered not just one of the best 135ers, but the top fighters in the world. He's considered unbeatable. Just an amazing, you know, great jiu-jitsu guy, great boxer. You know, now he's looking at two losses. Granted, against two of the best guys in the division, but, you know, where do you see, you know, does Miguel need to refocus, regroup, change camps maybe, or is it just a string of bad luck?
Oh, hell, I don't know. There's always advantages to changing up your routine, getting different perspectives, but, you know, without, you know, I'm not him. I'm not intimately familiar with his training routine. I can't really make a judgment as to if that's what he needs to do or what. But obviously, you know, a lot of time it does have its advantages.
I'm trying to remember if he did actually did change his camp to Greg Jackson, who's considered the premier trainer right now. I'm trying to remember if that was him or not. Because if he did, then I guess, you know, maybe Greg Jackson, despite his pedigree, isn't the best suited for him. Miguel is a lot more controlled than he used to be. He was kind of known as, you know, one of his things about being an exciting fighter was he was kind of wild. You know, he had the fight of the year a few years ago with a Japanese guy whose name escapes me, but it was, you know, kind of a wild brawl. It's entertaining,
right,
but a lot of people are saying, well, you know, well, look, you know, the guy needs to control himself, and
he
has, and now he's lost two fights. There may be something said for the wild style.
Right. Well, that's what makes the lighter weights so entertaining is that they have so much energy and they can go hard for three rounds or five rounds and, you know, hardly slow down. And Miguel Torres was definitely a good example of that. You know, last time I saw him several months ago.
Before you got really pulled.
Who, me?
At least you'll be able to see the dozen. At least to be able to see the WC pay-per-view.
Yeah. I don't know that I care enough about the WC right now to pay the $55 for it.
Could you go to Buffalo Wild Wings or something and watch?
I don't know. If they're showing it, I might. But honestly,
I'll probably get it.
But just not having seen the WC for 6 months, I am hard put to get excited about it.
Yeah, that's valid. You know, you lose your TV in one, you know, distribution area, you kill interest in that distribution area. You know,
and ratings for this last WEC were what, the lowest in 2 years, or second lowest in 2 years, something like that. Which
the DirecTV is a huge provider. That'll cut into your ratings.
Yeah.
Hopefully that does get worked out. Maybe Kate Tutato caught something that's early, maybe it's still a negotiation. I haven't seen anything from, I usually go to Little Sure Dog, Dave Meltzer.
Right.
Neither have said a word about it, so.
Yeah, that's the only site that that I saw that reported it, so whether, you know.
Just hung on to it with a, you know, just a powerful. Please God be true.
That would be nice, because the first UFC card on Versus is coming up in, what, a couple weeks. That would be nice to see. Yeah. It's a good card.
Yeah, it's the guy we talked about last week, the crazy guy who does all the pro wrestling moves, John Bones Jones, is headlining with Brandon the Truth Vera, who was at one time the new exciting guy in the division who kind of fell off a fucking cliff. But we will see how this fight goes. Well, I will. You won't.
I don't really see Vera taking that one, but I could be surprised.
I don't either. I see Jones taking it. He's just so explosive, and Brandon's just been very uninspiring lately, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right.
Go back to UFC. The last pay-per-view was a very low number for, you know, even below what they consider their baseline for what they consider a low-level pay-per-view. It's a fairly typical number for one of their overseas shows, which it was Australia, but it was actually shown live at the normal time.
Right.
But it ended up doing what their tape shows from Europe do. And it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see compared to other numbers. Maybe, you know, the alarmists can call all the shows, you know, the interest in UFC is waning down unless it's like a major star on the card. And Nogueira is never really, you know, card headlined by an up-and-comer. And Nogueira, who's huge to the hardcores, but, you know, even holding the championship and being an Ultimate Fighter coach, he's never clicked as a huge money draw yet.
Right. He's still, yeah, as far as the American audience, the typical, you know, passive viewer goes, he's not a big name.
He's not a guy to go all the way to see, I don't think. His opponent, however, but the one striking number was there was a spike in the Hispanic market for this card with Cain Velasquez on top. And that's been an area UFC has been very big on getting into. They've had a hard time, you know, boxing is such a big stronghold on the Hispanic market, and they've been looking for that big Hispanic star to try to, you know, they tried it with Huerta.
Right.
You know, he was the first MMA fighter to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and, you know, a good-looking guy, exciting style. Just, and his interest started picking up as soon as he lost. They like, kind of stopped caring. I think it's part of the boxing mentality. They like, you know, the undefeated guy.
Mm-hmm.
MMA doesn't lend itself to perfect records very often, unfortunately. So
right.
That mentality doesn't really work. You know, almost all of your top fighters are going to have a loss.
Right.
But I thought that was interesting. I wouldn't call alarm yet to a low number, especially with that main event.
Right. If the next pay-per-view, St. Pierre versus Hardy, if that card doesn't draw an upswing of pay-per-view buys, then there could be a more long-term problem. But at this point, I would say that low pay-per-view buys are just basically a result of not having very exciting cards for $55 or $45 if you just want the SD version.
With St. Pierre, that'd be very, very shocking. They drew, I mean, in Canada alone, they'll probably draw $225, which is what they did on this one. You know, he's just such a megastar in Canada alone. He's very large in the States, too. With the right opponent, he could probably break a million. But Hardy, they're trying to build it with his primetime special. I just don't see Hardy as a threat. You know, he could pull a Sarah and catch him, maybe. But
I saw somewhere that the ratings. Oh, there it is. MMA Junkie, UFC Primetime, St. Pierre versus Hardy, highest rated countdown show ever.
Yeah, St. Pierre's probably, or Banana Boat's probably my favorite current fighter. I really enjoy watching him fight.
Banana Boat?
Banana Boat, because he's got, well, never mind.
A little short.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, St. Pierre is really entertaining, so yeah, I will basically watch a card just for St. Pierre.
And there you he's go. Got a, you know, and he's got that, he's got a very not clean cut baby face thing going for him, which especially overcoming the fact that he's French Canadian. he's so over in the States, and it goes to show, you know, a good fighter can overcome a lot, and he, you know, he's just definitely one of the cream of the crop. I think he could turn into a Tyson where people just watch him fight anybody as long as they just want to watch him beat up on somebody. So maybe the Hart, not even being Hardy, he won't even matter. But, you know, and if they build him and Anderson, or if they ever did the catchweight or fight between him and Anderson Silva, I think that would easily break a million eyes.
Yeah.
So give him, again, GSP just needs a good opponent. Hardy, it's going to be sold strictly on the fact that it's St. Pierre. I haven't watched the count the primetime special yet. Did you get a chance to see it yesterday?
I did not. It's sitting on my DVR.
Yeah, same here.
That
I heard. You want to spoil? I heard a spoiler. You want a spoiler alert? The big build up to the end.
I can't imagine that it would spoil a major plot point. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, they kind of built it up. Hardy looking for it. He's looking for the edge, so he's going to a secret gym, and it turns out to be Matt Sarah's gym.
Oh.
So that's kind of how they built this week. They're going to do two more next couple of weeks. I heard that. I was like, okay, well, Sarah beat him once, but then got massacred the second time.
Yeah. Well,
I think did they say he was pissing blood after that fight or something? I mean.
Well, like I said, there's definitely advantages to training with different camps anyway, and Sarah's no slouch.
No, not at all. He's they won the last fight pretty, you know, against a tough opponent. I still think he should be down to 155.
Yeah,
he's just so small for 170. I mean, he's a former champ, but you know, he is a very small 170. You know, he got stuck fighting at that weight when UFC dropped 155. And he just one of the guys that went up to 170 when they dropped to 155 and they brought it back. He never moved down. So he ended up Ultimate Fighter 4, winning that, getting title shot, winning the title. Then there was the Matt Hughes grudge match. At this point, there's no really reason for him to stay up there unless he's just dying for that rubber match with GSP. And I think he really wants this, to be honest.
He hasn't, as far as I've seen, he hadn't said he does. He's pretty content that he beat him once and got beat once and is satisfied to be 1-1 with GSP.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. There's no need to always have a branch, because then you can always say you're 1-1 and not 1-2.
Right. 1-2 would just prove that the first one was a fluke.
Speaking of, Matt Hughes is, curiously, I have not heard anything about the guy. Former champ, one of the bigger stars in the emerging new popularity.
Matt Hughes?
Yes.
He's got a fight with Renzo Gracie.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. He's fighting on the Abu Dhabi card.
Okay. Right.
So, again, another guy. They were talking about, going back to Pulver, they talked about guys who trained in that camp, careers in, start going downhill really fast. And there, people were debating the method of how they trained at Militech. You know, they trained super hard, sparred super hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's kind of shortening guys' careers.
Yeah.
And again, it's an emerging sport. We don't have 100 years of boxing to refine techniques of,
right,
things like longevity and the sport, because no one thought of that, you know, even 5 years ago. There wasn't a sport, really. It was, you know, glorified freak show.
Right.
So, but, yeah, he's obviously on a downward spot. You know, his last fight was with Sarah, and he barely beat Sarah. A lot of people thought Sarah won that fight, actually. And Sarah, the guy, you know, 3 years ago, he asked about that fight. You know, it would have been clear, oh, man, he was going. He's obviously, you know, his chin's kind of hurt, you know. Got loopy from that punch from Sarah in the first round. He lost the Tiago fight before that to a nasty head kick.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have his explosiveness as a wrestler anymore. You know, he just has a really hard time taking people down, and that used to be his bread and butter. So,
right.
You know, a fight with Enzo probably makes sense. You know, make a couple of good paydays, fight some more, you know, older legends of the sport. You know, stay on the title picture. Just real quick, this close to Alan's stomping grounds is Strikeforce coming up on CBS. UFC's looking to go head to head with them, not only on TV but in the town of Nashville itself, possibly. Which leaves Alan with the conundrum of which show do you go to?
I go to Strikeforce because on such short notice, I don't think that the UFC is going to pull together a card that's as compelling as the Strikeforce card. The, you know, three title fights on Strikeforce, Jake Shields versus Dan Henderson, Musasi versus King Mo, and Gilbert Melendez versus Aoki, who will apparently not be wearing his crazy stripy tights.
Yeah, they allow them in Japan, but state regulations say they're an unfair advantage, which they probably are. He does get a lot of leg submissions of those things.
Yeah.
But so, an exciting fighter to watch, no doubt. I don't get HDNet. I don't get HDNet. I've never gotten it. So you have that one on me. I've never seen any of the Dream or some Goku fight cards. Because Comcast didn't carry HDNet, and neither does Cox out here in San Diego.
Yeah.
No, I have HDNet. I don't get HDNet. I miss watching Boss Fruit on Friday nights. That's what really feels good.
When is the next Dream card coming up anyway? March 22nd. Hey, that's pretty quick. That's
yeah. They seem to have one about every 6 weeks. They run pretty regularly.
No, it's not that often. It's been
there's also Sengoku and K1 Dream fights, so straight K1 fights. So I get them mixed up in my head. All the Japanese cards.
I
feel like there's always one off.
I have a hard time, honestly, getting excited about Dream because when it's live, I'm asleep, and I have a hard time getting excited about watching a pre-recorded fight. But I'm going to try to, starting with this next card, I'm going to try to make a point to watch him the next day.
I've tried to pull them off BitTorrent, but I never get enough interest, you know, to go through the whole rigmarole. If I had HDNet, I probably would watch more.
Yeah.
As it is now, I'll try to, if I can find a singular fight I'm interested in watching on Torrent, I'll probably pull that. Or sometimes they're up on YouTube. But anyway, that's going to do it for this. Go back to your thing. I agree. For live purposes, I would probably do Strikeforce also because of, you know, Jake Shields and Dan Henderson's actually is a very, you know, it's actually a world important, you know, a fight for the top, is a fight and it would be in the top ranking. So they strike persons, they get a lot of, you know, they get two actual top welterweights there. I'd be more interested in seeing that than whatever the UFC throws together, unless they get like an Anderson Silva or something.
He's scheduled for the Abu Dhabi card, so they're not going to throw him another fight before then.
Probably not, but you never know what Dana can pull.
Yeah, but
I think about throwing him to Tony, or maybe they can throw Tony on that card. But
yeah, there was a rumor of James Tony versus Kimbo Slice on that card, but I think that's been debunked.
Yeah, they officially signed Matt Mitrione fight, so it will be
for Kimbo. Yeah, so. Whatever's going to be at the top of that card won't be as interesting as what's at the top of the Strikeforce card.
Agreed. So
I intend to be at Strikeforce on March or April 17th, unless they reschedule.
I was so excited to come out to the West Coast, Southern Cali, and there's been any damn fights around here lately. I guess it's a bit too far for me, and like they usually do like a one card a year. you know, here, like on the, at the Marine base. They haven't had one of those in a while. Definitely because I've been here. I think I just got here too late for the last LA card. I still want to try to make a Vegas card before I go on deployment. So see if we can work that out. Get you out there and maybe some of the other Memphis boys. That'd be kind of cool.
If there is, as far as I've seen, there hadn't been a UFC card scheduled for Vegas before the end of May.
Yeah, and I'll be, that's the weekend I go on deployment, I believe, so that will be the fancy. I think that's going to do it for this week's show. Thank Alan and Brian for the scare last moment around my didn't know it was going to be crazy work schedule today. Rob for chiming in for one sentence. Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome.
We love you, Rob.
And we'll see you next week on Outside the Cage.
Word.